isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, because one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. Of all your worrying, we have all that we need. So stifle all your fear and complacency. Yeah, we walk through the valley and we glow in the shadow of death.
Welcome everyone to another edition of the Repair the Breach broadcast. I'm Zachariah Daniels, Repair the Breach, which can be heard on what the pagan calendar states every Sunday evening between 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the West Coast and 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone. And on the Repair of the Breach broadcast, we deal with issues that have a lot to do with the end-time scenario and restoration and repairing and renewing that the Father, Yahweh, the Creator, promised that He would renew our hearts, He would restore us back to the covenant that He had given. In the first covenant, and that's what the New Testament, which is really better stated, the renewed covenant was for, was to bring us back into fellowship through the ultimate and infinite atonement, the atoning sacrifice of the Almighty Messiah, Yahweh, the Messiah of Nazareth, who came to renew the covenant in our hearts and redeem us from our sins. And sin is a transgression of the Torah. That's what the definition of sin is. Also, missing the mark. It's also missing the purpose for your life that Yahweh intended for us to follow, His judgments, testimonies, statutes, and commandments. And so there's a lot of restoration going on now in the Father's kingdom. And He said in the last days, He said, will He find faith when He comes back on the earth? Now, we know He's in our midst. We know He's everywhere in our, He's in our midst, and yet we can feel His presence. If we pray and seek His face, we can feel after His presence. He's not far from us, like the book of Acts talks about. But what we've got is so many distractions in this world today that He wants us to keep our eyes focused on Him. And the end-time prophecy that the whole world was deceived and wandering after the beast. Book of Revelation details that out very succinctly, that there would be many deceived. And He said, if possible, the very elect could be deceived. And so goal here at the Repair of the Breach broadcast is to keep our eyes focused on the spiritual things that the Father has for us in restoration back to Him in fellowship and covenant relationship. And one of the biggest restorations that are taking place is the revelation of His name, the name of Yahweh. YHWH was the four Hebrew consonant letters, Yod, He, Wah, He, YHWH, which is pronounced Yahweh. And that name was taken out of our scriptures, if you haven't heard this already, if you're tuned in for the first time here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. The name of Yahweh was taken out of our scriptures and put in instead pagan terms, pagan names, pagan titles of heathen origin, with all due respect, such terms as Lord or God or Jehovah or Jesus do go back to pagan origin. And yet the Father is restoring back His true name back to His people. Isaiah 52 states that my people shall know my name, saith Yahweh. So His people will know His name. And yes, there's some good people out there, sincere people who might not use His name but might know of His name. When they say hallelujah, they're getting close. They're at least saying praise Yah in Hebrew. They don't know it, though. They don't have no cognizance, generally speaking. But the fact is, folks, is that in the last day, there is a beast system, a political side. It has two sides, a political side as well as a religious side of this beast system. A beast system is a government of men. In the end time, the last beast that rules the world is a revived Roman, a Greco-Roman society that really is being played out predominantly in the greatest land of all here, what they call the quote-unquote good old U.S. of A. And it is indeed the greatest land of all, no question about that. But the tyranny that is taking place in this land is a byproduct of many people turning away from Yahweh's judgments, testimonies, and statutes and commandments. And he said, if you're not going to follow my rule and my laws, then I'm going to bring hard taskmasters for you to bear. I'm going to bring oppressors that you're going to read about in 1 Samuel 8. And so what would happen if we forsook Yahweh and you sought an earthly king or an earthly leader to rule over you? He said this would happen to you. And that's exactly what this country and other countries are experiencing, because the majority have forsaken Yahweh's commandments. People today are living under a rule of oppression and tyranny in many places of the world. And this country, no question, is the greatest landmass, and I believe it used to be the greatest freedom-bearing place in the world. But as we know now, we're seeing such a covert, now not just so covert, it's overt now, it's in our faces, that people today are losing freedom left and right, habeas corpus being abolished, et cetera, et cetera. The so-called Patriot Act, not so patriotic at all, is it? But the reality is that these things are prophesied in Scripture in the end times, that in the end there would be a great falling away. And we have been experiencing, as a nation, this nation was originally founded on biblical principles, scriptural principle, but we've seen such a falling away of that and a taking away of the freedoms of expression, freedom of faith, and so forth. The Ten Commandments being taken down in Alabama, and the judge there, state judge, doing an honorable thing by standing up, you know, and everyone's looking at that and so forth. You're seeing so many examples of people's freedoms being stripped away. But really, you can't be truly free unless the Almighty Messiah sets you free. Because he said when he sets you free indeed. And everything else is a liberty, if you will, a privilege. There's a difference between freedom and liberty. In case you don't know the difference, if you're free, there is no you know, probation. If you have a liberty, if you have a leave, if you're on liberty, if you will, that means that liberty can be stripped away from you. But if you're truly free, and free comes from the Almighty Messiah, true freedom, then you're not subject. But the Scripture says, to whom you yield your members to obey, his servant you are. And if you yield yourselves into contracts and situations and governments of men, yeah, there's no question you become subject to it. But if you're out on your way out and you have the spirit of wanting to come out from among them, be separate, say, if Yahweh touch not the unclean thing, he said, I will give you. I will give you liberty and freedom. People always want liberty and justice for all, but the fact remains, until we're free in the Messiah, we're not going to be free at all in this life. We'll have a quasi-freedom, if you will, but that only is going to last for a little while. So what we need is to go back to the Father's judgments, testimonies, and statutes. That's what we try to do here at the Repair of the Breach broadcast, and go back to his name, go back to his Sabbath, which isn't Saturday, which isn't Sunday. It isn't any particular day of the week on this particular pagan calendar, what we call Monday through Friday and Saturday or Sunday. Sabbath is very important. It's a sign between his people and him, that they are in unison, that they are in step, and they are in covenant relationship. Sabbath, for this particular moon, how you get the word month is the word moon. Months, January through December, don't use the moon, but again, they're makeshift quasi-months, if you will. They're strictly calculation 1 through 30, 1 through 31. But the Scriptures teach that the Sabbath is determined by the moon, so you have to spot and recognize the full new moon's appearance when it occurs. And that will occur probably in what the pagan calendar states. It's translated April 2nd. It'll be probably on a Monday night to Tuesday night, a new full moon next week, not tomorrow, but the following, the pagan call of Monday night. That will be April 2nd. And so the new moon will be from Monday, April 2nd to April 3rd, Tuesday evening. So the Sabbath will be Monday to Tuesday for what the pagans call the month of April. The next week, the next Sabbath, will be from Saturday evening. The last Sabbath of the first moon will be from Saturday evening to Sunday evening. We just started the count to Pentecost. We began the Feast of Weeks. I went to number and count seven Sabbaths complete first. And then we're to number 50 days according to Leviticus chapter 23. That's a total of 99 days. And, of course, you can't forget the three new moon days in between. It's 102 days. And to know the end times, you need to know Yahweh's time. The Sabbath, again, is a sign between him and his people. And if we're not going to observe his Sabbath, then we're going to be really without in the end. And he doesn't want us to be without. He wants us to have hope in him and to have a sincere, obedient heart, a willingness to learn. It might sound new what you're hearing, but really nothing new under the sun. And the Sabbath, the last Sabbath of the first moon, will be from next Saturday to next Sunday evening. And then the new full moon will rise probably Monday night to Tuesday night. And that's for the Sabbath, for what, like I said, for what they call April, will be from Monday evening to Tuesday evening. So let's open the phone lines. I know there's a lot of people that had questions. And 800-313-9443. And we'll take your calls tonight. If you have questions, your comments, you'd like to learn some things, we've got a Yahoo group so you can join. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org. And join the Yahoo groups. We've got a lot of literature, a lot of information and research from the scriptures. And I think you'll be quite well provided for with information. There's enough information to prove out what our statements and our claims. I always stated that if you think what I'm saying is not true, well then please, by all means, give us a call. We're glad to hear any dissent. Try not to screen any calls. Anybody has a right to speak their mind whether they believe or they don't believe this. The point is that, like we said before, if we believe in freedom of speech, then we shouldn't be worried about what comes over the air. We should be concerned about our response. If it's true, it'll ring true from the scriptures and from the Spirit of Yahweh. And you can prove it out by the scriptures. And so I'm going to open up the phone lines in this broadcast and get some more calls in. Last week we got two or three calls. I think the week before that we got two or three calls. Hopefully try to get some more calls this week. 800-313-9443. If you'd like to reach us via email during the course of the week and you don't want to talk on the air, you can reach us at breachmender@yahoo.com, BRECHMENDER@yahoo.com. And looking at the first Sabbath of seven Sabbaths complete, Leviticus chapter 23, we just started counting to the Feast of Weeks. Feast of Weeks is seven Sabbaths that you're to number after the wave sheaf offering. On the day of the resurrection, the Feast of First Fruits, which we just culminated this past week, was the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. And then, of course, last night, they call Saturday night, was the end of the 21st or the last day of Unleavened Bread, which was a high Shabbat, a high Sabbath, which occurs once a year. See, the pagan calendar has Christmas and Easter and Valentine's Day and Halloween, et cetera, et cetera. Those are pagan feasts that people observe that Satan has set up for people to follow. But the Almighty Yahweh has true feasts that his people are meant to follow, that he has set up his appointed times. And they're all found in Leviticus chapter 23. And also you can read about some of them in Deuteronomy chapter 16. But it states in Leviticus 23, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointed times of Yahweh, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings, my appointed times are these. 6 days' work is done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, Shabbat of rest, a set-apart gathering. You do no work. It is a Shabbat to Yahweh in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of Yahweh, set-apart gatherings, which you are to proclaim at their appointed times. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, between the evening is the Passover to Yahweh. And on the 15th day of this month is the festival of unleavened bread to Yahweh. 7 days you eat unleavened bread. On the first day you have a set-apart gathering. You do no servile work. And you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh for 7 days. On the seventh day is a set-apart gathering. You do no servile work. We don't have a temple right now anymore. Our body's a temple now, but we don't have a physical temple to actually do these observances per se, but we are still to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover, and, of course, the Feast of First Fruits and the last Shabbat. The last day of Unleavened Bread is the High Shabbat, and then, of course, when the 22nd day comes, right here in verse number 15, it says, or actually verse 14, and you do not eat bread or roasted grain or fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your Almighty Allah forever. Again, forever doesn't have an expiration date. For those that say, well, it's all Hebrew and Old Testament and Jewish stuff. No, it's not true. It's for all of Israel. Not all of Israel is Jewish. Keep that in mind. Jewish is probably kind of a misnomer. The tribe of Yada, the fourth son of Yaakov. It was a law forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. In verse 15 of Leviticus 23, it says, and from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, you shall count for yourselves 7 completed Sabbaths. Well, we just completed the first one of 7 just about an hour ago or so. And 6 more, you'll have 7 Sabbaths complete. And then when you're done with 7 Sabbaths complete, verse 16 says, until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you count 50 days, and then you shall bring a new grain offering to Yahweh. So in these feasts, you have them kind of connect. You have Passover, which connects to unleavened bread, which connects to first fruits within there. 7 days of unleavened bread, would you take all the unleavened, or all the leavened bread, and all you eat is unleavened bread during the course of the week, and you're not to eat leavened bread at all. And then you've got the Feast of Pentecost. And to get to Pentecost, or Feast of Harvest, you first are to number or count 7 Sabbaths complete. That's the Feast of Weeks aspect. These are synonymous terms. They correlate. And they're really like two counts. The Feast of Pentecost, to get to Pentecost, there's one count called the Feast of Weeks. In other words, we're counting 7 Sabbaths complete. That's one count. That's the Feast of Weeks aspect, how they interconnect, how they work together in Yahweh's time. And when you're done with the Feast of Weeks count, the 7 Sabbaths complete, when we're done counting that, then you start numbering day by day 50 days. That's what Pentecost means. It means 50. Pentecost doesn't mean 49, because 7 Sabbaths would be 49. So you didn't say it in number one day, you said then you number 50 days. So we've got one of 7 Sabbaths complete, so we've got 6 more Sabbaths to count. And then from then on, of course, the 3 new moon days, we've got 50 days to count, or to number. That's how you get to Pentecost. That's the next feast, or the next major feast. And that's a summer feast. That comes, these main feasts, these 3 major feasts, Passover, Unleavened Bread, occur in the spring. First fruits right there in the middle of it. And then, of course, the summer feast, summertime, be the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. Get to the Feast of Weeks, 7 Sabbaths complete. Number that first, count that. Then you number 50 days, which means 50, means Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. They're interchangeable in the Hebrew. And these are very important in prophetic end-time scenarios because they're types of the Messiah of when he might return, when he gathers his wheat unto his barn, when he gathers the tares from the wheat, right? He separates the tares from the wheat, the wheat from the tares. These are all very prophetic, and they have something very important for us to learn from. until the mall after the seventh Sabbath, you count 50 days, and you shall bring a new grain offering to Yahweh. And then he says, bring from your dwellings for a wave offering two loaves of bread, Leviticus 23:17, of two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour. They are baked with 11 first fruits to Yahweh. These feasts have significance because they deal with agricultural, the time, the seasons, the weather patterns, the change, the four seasons, and so forth. They're very important for us to observe. In fact, his people observe them. Don't observe them, we're not going to be in step with Yahweh's plan and purpose for our life. If we really want to be obedient followers of the Creator, we're not going to be ashamed of what he has for us to do. And they're all found right there in the New Testament. For those that say, well, I'll follow the New Testament, Zach, but you're just reading out of the Old Testament, Leviticus 23 here. How does that apply to me? I'm a New Testament believer. That's the old refrain. I hear it all the time. And I would just say, well, look, we just got done observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it's warranted, and it's called for today, because in Acts chapter 20, right there in the New Testament, in the Renewed Covenant, they're observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you might say, well, okay, I find that, but what about all the other feasts, the Feast of Pentecost? Where's that in the New Testament, Zach? Right there, Acts chapter 2. They're observing the Feast of Pentecost. Now, this is after the resurrection and ascension of the Messiah. So these feasts are important to keep because they were never done away with. And, of course, the Christian church system wants to tell you that you don't need to observe them and keep you in a lawless mindset, keep you in a rebellious attitude, maybe not wittingly, but nevertheless, it's rebellion because they're telling you to follow their church law, follow their denominal creed, follow man's law, and yet they're trying to tell you that the Bible you carry to quote-unquote church, two-thirds of it don't apply to you. Now, this just doesn't make sense now, does it? The reason why is because it's a lie. Because if you go back in the First Covenant, they're observing. If you go in the Renewed Covenant, the New Testament, they're still observing it after the Messiah's resurrection. The main premise, one of the main premises of Christianity is that the church system teaches that the law has been done away with. Feasts are no more. But yet, all throughout the book of 1 Corinthians and the book of Acts, you see them observing, them being the Acts of the Apostles, the new covenant believers, you know? And if you study the book of Jeremiah, you'll find out that the new covenant, the renewed covenant, what they call the New Testament, was primarily for, in fact, exclusively for Yisrael and Judah, or Yada. And the lost sheep of the house of Israel became the Gentile nation. And so you've got trapped Gentile nations in corporate Christianity and the church system, thinking that you got to be in the church to be saved, quote unquote, that you got to be a Christian to be saved, when in reality, with all due respect, it has nothing to do with Yahweh's chosen people. The only thing they've got to do with Yahweh's chosen people is that they got to be called out, become engrafted in to Yahweh's chosen people, the house of Yisrael. I'm not talking about a little landmass over there in the Middle East either. I'm talking about red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. People of all different nationalities. The coat of Yosef's many colors, you know, that his father, Yaakov Yisrael, gave to his son that received the birthright. That's right, his 11th son of 12 sons, Yosef received the birthright, not Judah, not the quote-unquote Jews. They didn't get the birthright. Who got the birthright? Yosef did. The house of Yisrael did. The house of Yisrael, of course, the fourth son of Yaakov, Judah, or Yada, better pronounced, did get blessings, and there's covenant promises for them that Yahweh will fulfill. But not all Yisraelites are from the fourth tribe of Yada. You know? And that's such a misnomer, and it causes so much confusion for people when it doesn't need to be such. Ephraim has mixed himself with the nation. The term Ephraim and Yosef were interchangeable with the term or name of Yisrael. So when you see the term house of Yisrael and the house of Judah or Yada, you're dealing with originally one people of the house of Yisrael, but because Solomon sinned greatly, and you can read about it in 1 Kings 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter a little bit, it'll deal with how Yahweh rent the kingdom from Solomon, took it away, and took the 12 tribes and split them up in two different sects, the house of Yahdah and the house of Israel. Became two different kingdoms. They originally one, but yet they became two, the two sticks found in Ezekiel 37. We'll find that Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. He got the two tribes. They called Judah and Benjamin. And also, I think, half of also Levi. And then, of course, you had Solomon's servant. His name was Jeroboam. And he got the ten tribes. He got the northern kingdom. He became the king of Israel, of the ten tribes. The northern kingdom that got dispersed into Assyria, and then they eventually got assimilated to, with all the Gentile nations, where all the Gentiles or the lost sheep of the house of Israel literally became the Gentile nation. And that's why he said the New Testament or renewed covenant is given to Yisrael and Yahdah. They're the lost sheep who lost their identity, and now they have multiplied in so much that they have accumulated themselves all kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, fulfilling that promise to Abraham that he'd be the father of many nations. Many nations, you see, not just one or two little nations over there in the Middle East only. That's why this land, what they call America today, is the most blessed land, or has been the most blessed land, I should say, and is indeed the home base of the peoples of the world. Now, I mean, that's just the facts. I mean, that's what's happened. And it was prophesied that this would happen. And the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, clearly teaches that Ephraim would push the nations, would push the people, and it would be pushed to their land. And so the house of Israel, again, was synonymous with Ephraim and Joseph, the house of Joseph, house of Israel were known as Ephraim. And Ephraim had mixed himself, literally, red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. Again, all the nations of the world representing the coat of many colors that Joseph received from his father Yaakov, gave him a coat of many colors. When you realize that those promises are for you, my friend, and for me, and it's not, it has nothing to do with one particular race or people or nationality, because the Messiah broke down that middle wall partition and he made us one new man. That's right, to make us drink of one blood, right there in the book of Acts. It just tells us that we're not to be a quote-unquote bigot, where there's so much bigotry in religion today, in the church system. You know, it spews out hate messages, as well as the Talmud, which is an evil book, that spews out hate. The Nation of Islam, that just spews out hate. Judaism, the Talmud, again, just spews out hate. I mean, when you look at all these false religions, when you get right into it, with all due respect, you know, if it has hate in it, you know that can't be from Messiah Yahweh, the Almighty Creator, because he said that in him is light, and he was the light of man, and there in him was no darkness. And when you hear racial epithets, and when you begin to hear hatred, that, and then when they connect themselves to a certain belief, that's from the synagogue of Satan. I mean, that can go to any religion. That could be New Age. That could be Hinduism. It could be Buddhism. It could be any Eastern religion. It could be any religion whatsoever. Christianity, Judaism, Islam. When they start claiming, or any religion starts claiming that they're the only ones, you better get the red flags out, and the antennas better be, you know, going up in your mindset. Realize, hey, there's something wrong. Get you alarmed.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Stay open and honest-hearted,
You tune into the Repair of the Breach broadcast with Zachariah Daniel here. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach. You can call in 800-313-9443. We'll take your calls. Glad to talk with you tonight here on the Repair the Breach broadcast here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, publicbroadcasting.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Breachmender@yahoo.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
On the Repair of the Breach broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. I'm Repair of the Breach, Zach Daniel, and we got a caller, Brenda in Tennessee. Welcome to the Repair of the Breach broadcast on RBN.
Hi, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing great. What can we do for you tonight?
First of all, I appreciate your teaching. It has really helped me. We came into the knowledge.
Praise Yahweh for that.
Yes, hallelujah. we came into the knowledge of some truth. We don't ever have it all. A little over 20 years ago, we started calling on Yahweh and keeping his days and stopped keeping the worldly days and all of that. But you really enlightened us on when to keep Shabbat.
Isn't that exciting?
It really was. It had never dawned on us before, but it's just total common sense because that's how we calculate the feast days. So it made no sense. It's like, duh. How could you be so stupid? You know, you go all these years and you're just, I don't know, just
well,
like you're
great.
You're mind numbed. But,
yeah,
you know,
time worked out, right?
Right. But there is so much controversy and opinion about when the new moon is.
Yep, I know. It's
the crescent. It's the this. It's the that. It's nutty. I mean, it's just it's nothing but confusion to me.
And don't get me wrong. I used to hold to the crescent and used to hold to the dark moon conjunction theory. But you know what? I couldn't find one verse. And to this day, and I ask people that hold those positions, can you just show me one text? I mean, I would like to have two or three, but just show me one, and we'll go from there. And I still have not to this day gotten one verse to prove that the beginning of a moon was at a dark phase or at a sliver phase. Because keep in mind, the Muslims keep a false new moon, and they use the crescent. Judaism
right.
keeps as the crescent,
right.
and even some use the conjunction of dark moon. The Naval Observatory will tell you that it's the new moon is when a dark moon occurs. But they're all wrong. And if you read the Book of Enoch, and you probably have, it states that in the last days that they would go astray concerning new moons, the so-called experts. It says that in the Book of Jubilees also, chapter 2.
Okay.
Chapter 1 and chapter 2. Get a chance to read that. It says the so-called experts would actually go astray as to new moons when they begin. And the Catholic calendar on our wall, the Gregorian calendar, doesn't use the moon. But yet, as you know, they all offer a faulty opinion of when a new moon occurs when they say it's dark or a sliver.
Right.
And they can't, they're all saying the same thing. So that means, look, they're all wrong because according to Daniel, they would be all wrong. That's why in Isaiah 1, Yahweh says, I despise or hate your new moons. I despise your feast days because they're starting on a wrong pagan feast time or a new moon time, which is not a new moon at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, how are you determining when the new year starts? I know that you have said, okay, green stuff appears, but it appears in the south before it does north. So doesn't there have to be a starting point, like, okay, vernal equinox, something, where you can say, okay,
well,
the first new moon after something?
Okay, the new year of a Abib or the green ears or the green fruit, obviously if you don't track the new year right, you can get all the major feasts totally off kilter and you won't
Absolutely.
Get to them correctly.
Yeah.
That's obvious. But when you realize that when things begin to bud, when really they begin to come to fruition and they even begin to start, if you begin to see them start to bud in some sort of way, look at the trees, look at the grass. I mean, you know how everything's asleep in the wintertime. When you start seeing it begin to get more budding, more green, then the next full new moon will be the beginning of a new year.
But it would start budding in the south before it would, like, in the north, right?
Well, it could happen.
Like okay, I'm in Tennessee. We got, leaves on the trees already. But
you in the west part or in the middle or
I'm in
east?
West. West. I'm by the Mississippi line.
Oh, okay. So not too far from Sardis, then?
No.
Okay.
Is someone in Sardis?
I got some friends in Scotts Hill, too. So.
Oh, okay. I know where Scotts Hill's not very far from here.
Yeah, well, you got some fellow believers there.
Really?
Some of them just got baptized in the name of Yahweh. They came all the way out here. We baptized them in the name of Yahweh.
Really? I would love to find someone because we're totally alone.
Yeah.
We're totally alone here.
Well, if you got the internet, you can shoot me an email. I'll be glad to put you in touch with them.
We're off grid right now and
okay.
setting up another power system, and so
if you want,
shut it down.
If you want, and if you want to call me at your volition, you can get my number from my producer, or I can call you. You leave your number for him, whatever's easier for you.
Okay.
Just leave your number with Manny, and I'll call you, and I'll put you in touch with him.
Okay. All right. I have another one. I'm full of them.
Okay, well, go ahead. What's another one?
Okay. We're keeping a floating Shabbat.
Well, on man's pagan calendar, it'll appear to be floating, but on Yah's time, the Sabbath will be a half full moon. It'll be the dark moon will be the second Sabbath of the moon. It'll be a half full moon again, and then it'll be a wife full moon. So it'll be the same day. It'll appear to be floating on man's pagan calendar, though.
Okay, we're going to have questions come up about, oh, how can I work? If I'm going to keep Tuesday this week and I'm going to keep this day next week, we're going to have these, you know, people are going to ask these things.
Oh, yeah.
How
could
I work then?
Right, and we get that question a lot. And The question is who is our master? Is mammon or is our natural boss of the earth that we work for on the earth? Is he number one or is he number two? Or is he not? He shouldn't even be number top. He shouldn't be in the top two. He should be way down the totem pole.
Right.
The question is basically who's our master? And my creator is my master. And
Absolutely. So
my wife works for the airlines, which is a very time punctual type job. She worked for the airlines for about 5 years for America West, what they call U.S. Airways now. And she was keeping the new full moon and the Sabbath by the moon. And she always, you know, which would let them know a couple weeks in advance, this is when the days I need for the next month, and she always would trade schedules. For 5 years, she did that, and the Father blessed her. So I think if you tell your boss that or what have you, they're not going to fire you over that because they know there's some religious persecution or religious lawsuits over that.
Well, I don't work anymore, so I'm you know, you're going to have these questions. I mean, you have 10,000 questions thrown at you anytime you tell anybody any truth.
True.
And so you have to have 10,000 answers, or at least the correct one, you know.
Right.
And well, you know, if you did this, you know. So, all right.
Well, in the end, it's not going to matter, right? And what's the boss going to say then, you know?
Right. Well, that's what I've said, you know.
Some have asked me, though, Brenda, they say, well, I mean, that's not practical. There's so many people that, you know, work a 9-to-5 and Monday through Friday, and they're not... And I can understand the sentiment, and it makes a lot of sense. But, again, I'm not going to go by common sense when it comes to spiritual matters.
No.
He said, who is number one in your life? And it comes down to, who is my master? If I trust him, obey him, he can give me a better job or a better way to make a living if I put him first, regardless if they were going to try to persecute me for an issue like that.
Logic is not always best.
That's right. Well, hey, Brenda, I appreciate you calling.
Okay.
If you want to leave your number with my producer, Manny, and we'll contact you.
I will, and
we'll put you in touch with some friends.
Great peace to you.
Hey, peace to you, my friend, and hope you call again.
Thank you.
All right, shalom.
Shalom.
We're going to go from Brenda in Tennessee to Stephen in West Virginia. Welcome, Stephen, to the Repair of the Breach broadcast on RBN.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Stephen. What you up to?
I was thinking, listening to what you say, I call him Yeshua, but some people call him, you know, Yahweh, and some call him Jehovah, but he's the one true God. Well, I just talk about the hate and Satan and churches.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be, well, if you go to church, you're going to have the world in there, too. You're going to have people who hate. And people who want to destroy the church, you know, like the socialists and the communists and everything else. I just want to know what your viewpoint on that is. I've been going to the church down here, but, you know, sometimes the way they behave in the congregation and compared to what the preacher is saying, you know, shakes me up a little bit.
Yeah, we're to come out of her, my people, in the end time. I think... when you look at the scripture, Yahweh is not pleased with strange fire mixing some truth with a lot more error. And I hate to say it, but it's true. I used to be a Christian pastor. You probably heard that. But I was guilty of it. I'm not trying to set myself up. But I would steer clear. You can pray anywhere. You can pray in your home. You can have your own fellowship assembly right there in your own home. You don't need to go to no building. And I would steer clear from all those situations because the Almighty is wanting us to be a separated people, not to mix worship, and that's something he's not happy. But you talk about the pronunciation. Yeshua was a title for the Messiah, indeed. He came in the Father's name, and we know that Jesus or Yeshua or Jehovah wasn't the Father's name. It was YHWH or Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, and that was the only name to praise because, remember, he said, don't have any others before me.
I don't share my glory with another. He didn't say, hey, wait till the New Testament, then I'm going to send somebody else with another name, and then I'm going to let you now to commit, you know, idolatry. It just didn't happen. He's not going to allow that. It was the monks monking around to make you think that there's two different people or two with two different names when there's only one almighty person that we're to serve. And he became our Messiah. He sent his word and healed him. He sent himself, and he didn't send somebody else. He sent himself. The invisible Father became visibly known as the Messiah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's the greatest revelation, I think.
Yeah, like what's going on right now, there's going to, this world is in, I thought it was bad in the 60s, but, you know, I'm realizing, like, this is like the, we're trying to destroy us from within, you know, and this war is going on and everything. And it's about time everybody get close to God and start, you know, building each other up again in this country, still trying tearing down.
We definitely need to stick together. We do need to encourage one another, and we need to go back to the scriptural, you know, principles that this nation was originally founded upon. That you know, it strayed immensely. And but yeah, Stephen, you bring out some important points, you know. And do you have anything else? We'd sure like to have you call back again as well.
Well, I'll call back later. I'm just saying, you know, like I'm not going to give it up on the churches. I'm going to go back to the church, but. You know, when you go to church, you know, I just keep in mind that the church is going to be raptured, and he's going to divide the goats from the goats. And
okay, well, hold on. You brought out a point right there. You know, the term rapture isn't even found in the scriptures. Did you know it came in 1935, this teaching called the rapture from, it was from what they call dispensationalists. It came through the Scofield Bible from Charles Darby. It was on a big front page article on the Time magazine, did a front page expose. It was a cover story, and it was brought in by Freemason Zionists and dispensationalists, and it's a false error. It's like a beam me up, Scotty mentality, where they're thinking, Officer Jack says it really well, why fight when we're out on the next flight? And that's why, one of the reasons why this country's in the detriment that it's in, because they think, hey, you know, why take a stand when, look at, they got this false mentality of they're going to, you know, be whisked away in some secret catching away when the Messiah, you know what the Messiah said? He goes, when they say over here, I'm over here in the secret chambers, he said, believe it not. He doesn't do it in secret, you see. This is something to keep in mind. He's coming back for a people called by his name, and I understand, I admire you for wanting to go out and reach people and share this with everybody, but don't get caught up in the church system, because what'll happen is, if you're not careful, and I'm sure you're a strong individual, but keep in mind, anybody can be deceived. And if you go there, speak forth a message. Tell them. I'll tell you, you won't last very much long if you keep telling them this.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a discerning individual. I always look for, you know, they try to deceive me all the time. I look for all that all the time. But
yeah.
But I get things right down to my heart and my soul, and I search for the truth. And this world is tricky. I mean, very tricky. You gotta keep your mind open and be discerning all the time.
That's true.
You just can't, you know, because you just keep learning it day in, day out, day in, day out. And after a while, your eyes starts opening up to stuff.
That's true.
You change and everything else. But
well, hey, man, I'd like for you to get a hold of me. You know, my email. Are you on the internet? Are you online at all?
Oh yeah, I got me a supercomputer and everything.
Well, shoot me an email. I mean, if you don't mind, I'd like to stay in touch with you, and maybe we can fellowship sometime as well.
You got a website?
Oh yeah, you can go to the Yahoo groups. We got a Yahoo groups. Just go to republicbroadcasting.org, look under program hosts, under Zach Daniels, and then you'll go right to. There's a link. It goes right to it.
Okay, I'll flip on there.
Okay. Yeah, come on and join, Stephen. Welcome. Thanks again, and thanks for calling. Call again. Stephen, West Virginia's joined us at Brendan, Tennessee. Now we go to Dylan in Texas, and welcome, Dylan. How you doing, my friend? Oh, Dylan jumped off. Okay. Well, if you'd like to get in, we got about maybe 10 minutes or so towards the broadcast end here. 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, and I think Brenda's brought out some good points tonight. So did Steve, that, you know, it can be daunting at first when you learn you know, nothing new under the sun. It might just seem to be like a new truth to you, but it's been there all along, way before any of us got on the scene. So the truth, like the old saying goes, is stranger than fiction. And the Sabbath was determined by the moon. And you know what's amazing? You got even in the Jewish encyclopedias, it'll tell you that the original Sabbath was lunar. It'll tell you that it was from the moon. And yet, go figure, they're using a Friday, Saturday, perpetual pagan Sabbath. And, of course, Saturday, many would say, well, it goes back to Saturn. I've said that Kronos, first in time, first in line. That's true. But it's pronounced Saturday on the pagan calendar. And Satur was a goat symbol in Isaiah 13, I believe. That might be another chit text. I think it's Isaiah 13 or Isaiah 14. Well, and when you start studying out what a Satur was, a half-man, half-goat, that was the universal symbol of Satan or Hashatan or the devil. And, or the Diablo, as they say. But the point is, the term Satyr was a universal symbol for Satan. And so if people choose to say that the true seventh day was Saturday, just think about it. Would the Almighty allow his true seventh day, to be shared with the day of Satan? I mean, think about it. Of all the days of the pagan week on the calendar on your wall, what is the most debaucherized day? Think about it, folks. It's Saturday night. Everybody's, you know, doing their thing and quote-unquote partying and all that debauchery that goes down. And the Almighty is, you know, not going to equate his true Shabbat. You know, Friday night and Saturday are the two biggest days, let's be honest, where people just, they work Monday through Friday on the pagan calendar, and then boom, come Friday night, boy, they just shoot it all up, don't they? They just get themselves smashed, and the Father's not pleased with it, and there's judgment to pay for it in the end. And come Saturday, same thing. All right, we got Kevin in Tennessee. We got for our last call probably tonight. Kevin, welcome. How you doing, my friend? Welcome to Repair the Breach.
Oh, greetings, greetings. And Brenda, you're not alone. I'm up here in Perry County, too.
Well, hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. I was going to ask, you know, I always thought a new moon was when the moon was full until I found out on looked on the calendar and saw that it was when it was dark. But I was going to ask you to address the these pagans that like to worship the moon. Some people call them Wiccans or whatever.
Yeah.
Are they actually true believers that are being kind of misled because somebody else is misleading them? Let me say this.
You brought up a point where you said you used to use the full moon as the new moon. What changed you to follow a dark moon, which I haven't found one verse of Scripture to support that?
I never changed. I just one day happened to look on the calendar and said, well, that didn't make no sense to me. Why do they have the new moon when it's dark? It's just with common sense. I always just naturally understood or believed until I started looking into it, and then they were saying it was something different. It's just like the days. They start the day at midnight, but when God said, let there be light, and the evening and the morning was the first day, that was, you know, high noon.
Right, so to your position today, are you using the new full moon as the beginning of the month, or are you using the dark moon to start the month?
No, the light of the moon.
Are you using the sliver of the crescent, or are you using the full new moon to begin the month?
The full moon.
Okay, so then hallelujah, we are on the same page there. And you're right, the calendar on our wall will say that the dark moon is a new moon, and yet they don't use the moon, so they're giving us a faulty definition of when a new moon begins when they don't even use the moon period. They call it a month. It's quasi makeshift and full of calculation, but it has no scriptural basis whatsoever.
Well, that in the day, you know, they start their days at midnight, but God starts his days at high noon.
So when you look at that text in Genesis where it talks about the evening and the morning or the first day, what's your take on that?
The evening, well, evening starts at 1 second past high noon, don't it?
Evening and the morning.
Yeah,
well, you know, like the stars, for instance. Okay, you got the sun, moon, and stars. So we have the sun is the greater light that rules the day, and then you've got the stars and moon, which are the lesser lights, which rule the night. So if the
right.
evening and the morning is the first day, and the stars come out to let us know that obviously the previous day has ended and a new day has begun. Like when you get done working and the sun goes down, okay, the night cometh when no man can work. That's what the Messiah stated, right?
All right.
So when we're done working at, say, 4 or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock when the sun goes down, you know, then you know that you have a half hour of twilight to get home.
Right.
And then let's say it's, you're working on the sixth day of the week, and then you got that sun goes down, you got a half hour, 45 minutes of twilight to dusk, and then you got enough time to get home to prepare for Sabbath. So that first star that comes out in the night will let you know, like, hey, okay, something took place in nature. The lesser light now is ruling the night or the evening. A new evening has begun. A new day has sprung, and that's pretty much how we can tell. You're right, midnight to midnight, there's no way a day can start at 11:59. Okay, midnight. There's nothing in nature to prove that.
Yeah.
You know,
I just wanted to let Brenda know, and I kind of wanted to hear you address. I'm going to drop off here in just a second. But
what do you want me to touch on here?
These pagans the Wiccans, the people that get sucked into that, thinking, you know, well, they're going to follow the Sabbaths by following the new moons. But if I'm not mistaken, they follow the dark of the moons.
That's right. You're absolutely correct there, and the thing is all the major false religions of the world use the sliver or dark of the moon to start a pagan new moon. And this is why, like I stated to Brenda earlier, Yahweh stated in Isaiah 1, he also said it again in Hosea as well, Isaiah 1, where Yahweh says, I hate your new moons. I hate your feast days, because it wasn't his new moon starting point. They're using a false Babylonian style of an Egyptian style of starting a new month, which was a sliver or a crescent or an invisible dark moon. But the Wiccans and the moon worshippers, in fact, the day, what they call in the pagan calendar Monday, was dedicated for those people who worship the moon. And yes, indeed, the Wiccans used the dark of the moon. But it doesn't matter if they even use the full moon if they, you know, to worship it. It's still incorrect to worship any phase of the moon. And we're just using them as Yahweh's timepieces that he said in Genesis 1:14-16. Were just for days and years and signs and seasons. That's all it's for. It's a big clock for us. The sun rules the day and the year. The moon rules the appointed times as well as the months or moons and weeks, because Shabuas, the four Shabuas, are found in the moon, which is Hebrew for week. Shabuah. Shabbat is the seventh day of the Shabuah, or week. And so, absolutely, I mean, it's... something that, yeah, there's a lot of prevalency there of moon worshippers, sun worshippers. Christianity is a pretty much a sun worship religion. The S-O-N-S-U-N, same phonetic. It's the Messiah. I think he's better stated. He came in the flesh, and we cannot ever deny he's come in the flesh, because if people say, well, he hasn't come yet, that's dangerous, my friend, because of the fact we know he came in the flesh.
And
if he hasn't come, when is he supposed to come? He's already come. Bottom line. What are we going to say now?
He's already come, and he's always here.
That's right. And he now lives in our hearts through the baptism of his spirit. There's just too much evidence to prove that he's come. And you'll see a lot of people that deny he's come.